सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। विल् डू थ्री टाइम्स् त्रयम्बकम् जस्ट् फार् वर्ल्ड् पीस् एण्ड् इन्वोक् लार्ड् शिवस् ग्रेस् फार् आल् देट् इस् गोयिङ्ग् आन्। ॐ त्र्यम्बकम् यजामहे सुगन्धिम् पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योर्मोक्षीयमामृतात्। ॐ त्र्यम्बकम् यजामहे सुगन्धिम् पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योर्मोक्षीयमामृतात्। ॐ त्र्यम्बकम् यजामहे सुगन्धिम् पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बन्धनान् मृत्योन्मोक्षीयमामृतात्।
वी आर् डूयिङ्ग् चाप्टर् 7। वेल्कम् एव्रीबडि, एस्पेशलि द स्टूडेण्ट्स्, बाल्विहार् स्टूडेण्ट्स्, वेरि नैस् टु सी यू आल्। विल् बि डूयिङ्ग् वर्सेस् नम्बर् 19, 20 एण्ड् 21। सो पार्वतीजी, what did she want? She said, no matter how many lifetimes I take, I only want Lord Shiva. She did not say, oh, Shiv nahi milenge to Vishnu ji chalenge. No, I want Lord Shiva no matter how many lifetimes of penance I have to do. Sita ji, she knew that only Bhagwan Ram would be able to lift that bow, and she knew that that was the only one she wanted in her life. Rukmini ji, when it was time for her to get married, she wrote a letter to Bhagwan Shri Krishna that they are trying to arrange my marriage. Please come and take me away. I do not want to go with anybody else. So we see that these devotees had complete love for God and God alone. They did not love God for what I can get from God. See, that's what we had studied last week, where Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that there are four kinds of devotees who come to me. One is Aarti, who comes for relief of suffering. God, I have this suffering, please relieve that. There are others who come wanting something. You know, I want a job, I want a position, I want power, I want money. So they use God as an instrument to get something else. The third one approaches God just with the idea that I want to know what God is, what is written in the Bhagavad Gita, what is written in the Upanishads, what is written in the Bible or Quran. So they're jignyasu, they are called, where they go for knowledge. But Bhagavan says that jnani, who is the fourth kind, wants me, for my sake, not what he can use me to get. Because if you use God to get something else, then God becomes the instrument and that something else becomes the primary goal. So that's what he says, that jnani is the one is most dear to me and I am most dear to him. So that kind of love relationship is what we need to develop with God. And he says, Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. He says, Jnani is my atma and I am his atma. That means he knows that God and I are one, that my atma, the om that you see in the BMI chart, is Bhagwan. And it can be any form. It can be Sri Krishna, Saraswati, Shiva, Ram. It doesn't matter. It can be Jesus. But the Lord, and when Bhagwan says I, what he means is not I only as Sri Krishna, but I as the Supreme Consciousness, that he identifies himself with that. And so that is what he says, that such a jnani is dear to me. Also in the seventh chapter, what we have studied so far, just to briefly summarize, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that I have a lower nature, my lower prakriti and higher prakriti. My lower nature is this world of five elements and mind, intellect and ego. Ashtada prakriti, eightfold. And my higher prakriti is the spirit. So matter and spirit together constitute this entire universe. All of us are made of matter. Our body is made of matter. The mind and intellect is also subtle matter. But the spirit or the consciousness is one. And he says, I am actually beyond both. I am beyond the spirit and matter. But it is my higher nature which enlivens this whole universe. But I support the whole universe just as a thread supports a necklace. The thread you cannot see, but without the thread, the necklace would fall apart. So similarly, even though we cannot see the Lord, it is he or her or that which is supporting this entire universe. And even within my body, every cell is coordinated because of the presence of consciousness, which is constantly functioning, even when I am asleep, even when I am not aware, but my heart, lungs continue to work. So this is what we had studied so far. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna also gave us some examples where you can see him. He says, I am the taste in the water. I am the light in the sun and moon. I am the brilliance in the fire. So wherever you see the essential quality or the what is best in that in that particular object, I am that. So he says, I am the intelligence in the intelligent. So this is what we have studied so far. Now we shall do the verse number 19, where what, after having indicated the qualities of a jnani, of a wise person, how does this wise person function in the world? How does he or she interact with others? That is what we will study today. Or what is the vision of such a person? How does he or she see this world? So that is verse number 19, chapter 7. Bahunam janmanamante.
Bahunam janmanamante.
Jnanavan mam prapadyate.
Jnanavan mam prapadyate.
Vasudeva sarvamiti.
Vasudeva sarvamiti.
Sa mahatma sudurlabhah.
Sa mahatma sudurlabhah.
Together, bahu nam janma namante. Jnanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Sa mahatma sudurlabhah. Okay, so Bhagavan says, bahu nam janma nam. Janma nam means birth. Bahuna means after many births. Ante means after. After many, many births, Gyanvan, a wise person, a Gyani, who has seen his oneness with God, after many lifetimes, Mam Prapadyate, approaches me. So, after many lifetimes, a wise person approaches me. And what does he see? Vasudeva Sarvam iti. Sarvam iti. All this that I see is Vasudeva, is God alone. And such a Mahatma means Mahan Atma, means a great soul, a great individual. Sudurlabha. Durlabha means it is hard to get. Sudurlabha means it is extremely hard to find such an individual. So what Bhagavan is saying, after many births, the wise person approaches me, and what does he see? That this whole universe is nothing but that one God, and such a wise person is difficult to find in this world. So this might be a depressing shloka for us. He says, oh, I have to take many lives before I will reach God, and then before I will see oneness. So what Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary tells us, that to become a Jnani takes many lifetimes, to become a wise person. Even in the Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya ji tells that who is a wise person. So he has given us certain qualities. One is he should be have viprata. He should have sattvic qualities, purity of body, purity of mind, purity of speech. Then he should have Vedic Dharma, faith in the Vedic Dharma, faith in the scriptures. Then it says Vidvattama, that means he should have wisdom. That means whatever he has studied in the scriptures, that person should be able to bring it into his life. And to become a human being, we have gone through thousands of births, million of births, right? They say 8.4 million births, starting from a plant, and then we became a protozoa, then we became a fish, then an animal, then a chimpanzee, a monkey, and then a human. So the fact that you and I are sitting together and studying the Bhagavad Gita and trying to get the essence of the teachings of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and trying to bring that to our life, what it means is we are very close to that Jnani. We are not far away. It's not that I have to go to 1,000 more births. The fact that you and I at this moment are studying the teachings of the Lord shows that we are very close to the truth. All we have to do is, what Shankaracharya ji says, Manushyatvam Mumukshutvam Mahapurusha Samshrayah. Manushyatvam, as we said, is the human being who has these qualities of sattvic nature, faith in the scriptures, is willing to study that. And then he or she should approach a teacher, which we can see. Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda has given us a beautiful commentary of the Bhagavad Gita. So we have had a guru in our life, and we see so many other teachers and mahatmas and swamis come through the mission. Every month we have lectures. So that is Mahapurush Samshraya. All I have to develop now is Mumukshutvam. Human birth I have, the Bhagavad Gita I have, my contact with teachers I have. I have to develop an intense desire for liberation, Mumukshutvam. Liberation is often understood as freedom from bondage. What is the bondage you and I suffer, that we depend for our happiness either on an object or a person, or a situation, or a position, or power? The moment I depend on something for my happiness, I am bound. I am dependent. So what is liberation? Freedom, where I find the happiness within, And then whether I have the object or not, I am happy, that is liberation. And the highest liberation, moksha, is freedom from this cycle of birth and death that happens in an individual who has exhausted his vasanas, has accomplished his karmas, and then for such a person lives in happiness with the Lord. And then these are the people who then the Lord sends, and they come to us as Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, or Swami Vivekananda, or Raman Maharishi, or Jesus Christ. They come to share this knowledge with us. So these are the liberated masters. So that is what it is said, that having this knowledge, we now have to develop this knowledge, bring Bhagavad Gita into our life. So this is a very optimistic shloka. And as we said, Shankaracharya ji is a beautiful example of Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate, who sees Vasudeva Sarvamiti, who sees this whole world as Lord. And in Shankaracharya ji's life, we find so many examples of young men and women whom he picked up, inspired them to become great teachers, to become realized masters. One story I'll share with everybody today is Padmapada, who was an ordinary young man, but he had interest in scriptures. Even when he was young, he wanted to study the scriptures. He wanted to meet with saints and Mahatmas. And so it so happened that Shankaracharya ji went to their parents' house for bhiksha, you know, for lunch. And this, the moment this boy saw Shankaracharya ji, he fell at his feet and he said, "You are my guru." And Shankaracharya ji immediately recognized that this person is he's not an ordinary individual. So he asked his parents, "Can I take him with me?" The parents said, "We'll be very glad if a great Mahatma like you takes him as his disciple." So they sent their son with him. And he named him Sunandana. And it so happened that one time, this Sunandana, this young man, was washing the guru's clothes on the other side of the bank, and he had dried the clothes and he was supposed to bring them back. And guru came out of the, was on the other side of the river, came out and his clothes were wet, and he said, "Oh Sunandana, can you bring my dry clothes?" And this young man didn't even think twice. He said, "My guru needs clothes and my guru has called." He didn't want, he could have gone around and looked for a boat and crossed. He said, "No, my guru needs it." He started walking on the water. And as he was walking on the water, the Gangaji created lotus leaves, lotus flowers under him. And so his feet were held by these giant lotus flowers and he walked across. And Shankaracharya ji asked him, "How did you come?" He said, "Guru, Puja Guruji," he says, "with your one word, you can dry up the entire ocean of samsara. What is this Ganga river? It is your words that brought me." And so Shankaracharya ji after that named him Padmapada. Padma means lotus, pada means feet. So whose feet were supported by lotus. There's another interesting incident in Padmapada ji's life. When Shankaracharya ji was one time sitting alone and this Kapalika came. Kapalikas are people who used to believe in human sacrifice. And so he came and he said, "I want to offer you in sacrifice to my God." Because he thought, if I offer a great Mahatma, my Lord will be very happy. He said, "Can I offer your head in sacrifice?" And Shankaracharya ji was so noble. He said, "If that's what you want, you can have it. But come early in the morning when none of my devotees are here, none of my students, because they won't let you do that. I'll be waiting for you." So next morning, this guy comes with his knife and he's ready to chop Shankaracharya ji's head off, and he chants his mantras to his god Bhairava, and he's about ready to do that. And Padmapada was far away somewhere, but he was in deep meditation, and he immediately found out what is happening to my guru. And so he invoked Narsimha. You know Narsimha, the avatar of Bhagwan Vishnu, who actually came to save Prahlad from his father. So Narsimha Bhagwan himself came and destroyed that Kapalika. And Padmapada himself entered that form of Lord Vishnu. And when Shankaracharya ji came, opened his eyes, he said, "I am still okay and this person is dead." And that's when he asked Padmapada what happened. Of course, Shankaracharya ji could figure it out. So the point is that this person's devotion for his guru was so great. And you can see Shankaracharya ji's influence, how the whole country was transformed and the Vedic religion was reinstituted. That's what he says, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a Mahatma is very difficult to find. Now, what is this Vasudev? Some people think Vasudev just means, you know, Krishna. It's not only Krishna. When he speaks about I, he identifies with the total consciousness, the Brahman, the totality. And that is what he invokes. So when he says I, it means whatever form of Lord you see. If I love Krishna, then Krishna is the whole universe. If I love Shiva, then Shiva is the whole universe. And Vasu and Deva can also be split etymologically. If you look at the Sanskrit root, Deva means Divyati iti Deva. That which illumines is Deva. So Deva, so what is that which is illumining my mind, my intellect, my senses? It is the consciousness within me. So that is Deva. And Vasu means Vasati iti Vasu. That which stays everywhere, which is stays in the whole universe. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, I am that consciousness, I am that existence that is in every one of us. So every one of us has that consciousness, that existence. It is because of that we exist and because of that we are able to function. So that's why Vasudeva Sarvamiti means he, the wise person, sees all the entire universe as an expression of that one consciousness. He sees the oneness, and that is called Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Now, what is this Sarvam Iti? Sarvam. So there are three things that we perceive. One is what I can see myself, what is called Pratyaksha Praman. What I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch. What I get to know through the magazines, through the internet, through the newspapers, through books. So that is Pratyaksha. That is what I can come to know with my senses and all my senses. Then there is Paroksha Gyan. Paroksha Gyan means that which I don't know, but which the scriptures tell us. Like they tell us there is heaven and there is hell. None of us has seen it. We don't remember it. And that what happens after birth and what happens after death, depending on your karmas, you get in the next lifetime. All those things we have not experienced, but we have faith in the scripture. So that is called Paroksha Gyan. And the third is Aparoksha Gyan, which is immediate understanding, where I understand that this consciousness within is the reality and this whole universe is that. So there are three kinds of knowledge: Pratyaksha, what is we know, Paroksha, what the scriptures tell us, and Aparoksha is what is my own experience after I have realized the truth. So all that is that one consciousness, that is the understanding of this wise person, where he sees the entire universe as himself, the oneness.